What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, a ministry designed to help you get right with God. And today we are at episode 32, and we're talking about the gospel. We're in a new series called Church Detox, and this is the second of the series. Last time we talked about 10 things some pastors may lie about, and one of those was the gospel. And so today we're going to delve deeper into the gospel message and kind of just expose some of the stipulations for salvation that was omitted. And we mentioned that it was repentance. That was the main one. But another one is understanding what belief is. That has not been explained to the people. So they get a gospel message that says that you're not going to perish for your sins if you believe in Jesus. But they don't explain to them what belief in Jesus is. The selling point is you got eternal life, but they don't mention repentance. So I'm going to show you in the Bible how there's other scriptures that speak to repentance, and that if you're going to preach the gospel, you have to give the complete message is what I'm saying here. So let's just get right into the Bible. John 3:16. I'm going to just go over the scriptures that tell you this because it makes sense. They're giving you the truth, but not the whole truth. John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world." And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I studied the King James, but when I do a recording, I found that the English language from the New Living Translation reads better. It sounds better because I don't have to explain different archaic words and stuff like that. I can just read it and it makes sense and it's clear, you know. And so you can listen to that and hear and understand a lot better than me reading from the King James all the time. So just for the note of that. Now, this is John 3:16. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So right there, everybody who believes in him will have eternal life. So somebody hearing that says, okay, that's all I got to do. And that's what the pastor tells you. Say, all you got to do is believe. All right. So he's telling the truth. Here's another one from Acts chapter 16, verses 31. Here's a man asking, you know, how do I get saved? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And so it goes on to say that they all got saved and got baptized. See? And this is the passages you'll hear from the pulpit. Here's another one in Romans chapter 10. These are all famous. Romans chapter 10, verses 9. "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." Right there. So that's the gospel message right there. And he'll leave it at that. All you got to do is believe. He didn't explain to you what believe is. And he didn't mention this other part that we're going to get into. So here's another scripture that is often left out. And this stipulation is repent. We have to repent. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay. I don't hear a lot of preachers saying that, but they should start doing that now. You know, the gospel message must include repentance. And I want to be clear that repentance is not a one-time thing. You're going to offend God later on in life. You're going to have to repent then. You see, let's keep going. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." So God wants you to repent. And if you want to understand what repentance is, we have a three-part series about that. So a lot of people can say, "Well, I'm believing in God. I'm good. Did you repent of your sins?" Well, no. Okay, well, you're not right with God then. You got to take the whole counsel of God. There's other scriptures. We got to put this gospel message together clearly. We can't omit different pieces. Here's another scripture, 2 Timothy 2:19. "But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, the Lord knows who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." In other words, repent. those who follow in God must turn away from evil. So when I hear somebody say that they're a Christian now, they're a saint now, they're a follower of God because they believe in him, but they still practicing evil. They're still messing around with evil. I don't think that they're right with God. And I would say that person's in danger of losing their souls. So God wants you to turn from evil. He wants you to repent. And I wish that these pastors would include repentance as a stipulation for receiving salvation. Here's another one, 1 John 1:9. We mentioned this before. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Here's a conditional statement. We also know that confession leads to repentance. So he says, if we confess our sins, it's a conditional statement. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or wickedness. So if you don't confess your sins, if you don't repent, guess what happens? You don't get any forgiveness of your sins. You're not cleansed from wickedness. See, and that's what's happening. A lot of people, they're believing and they're still practicing sin. When they sin, they don't confess their sins. They don't go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for this is what I did. Wash me clean, Lord, please forgive me. And I'm strengthening me to do the right thing next time. They're not doing that. They're living in sin. They're practicing sin. They're thinking nothing of it when they offend God. God has a problem with that. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 13, it says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. This must be included when you present the gospel to somebody. You can't talk about disbelieve and everything will be fine. You can't do that. You must include that they have to repent of their sins. They had to turn away from the wickedness. They know they're doing wrong. Everybody has a conscience. Everybody has a barometer of what is right and what is wrong. Those people who have been presented the gospel need to start listening to that conscience and say, okay, this is wrong. I need to stop doing it. Now, we know the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome our flesh and our evil nature. But we have to make a decision to say, I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to stop doing what offends God. Psalms 32:5, it says, finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. There might have been David, I think, speaking to God about his confession and how his guilt was released when he confessed his rebellion. This is what you're supposed to do. A lot of people are guilty. They're still walking around. I don't feel like they're right with God. Why? You didn't confess your sins and repent. So this is a part of the gospel message. It should be included. It's been omitted from a lot of sermons, a lot of altar calls, and it needs to be included because the people are being deceived and they're believing that they're all right with God. They're saved, whatever you want to call it, and they're in danger of the lake of fire. And this is terrible. Now, the pastor, like I said, he's deliberately doing this because he doesn't want to offend people. He doesn't want to showcase to people how bad they are, because that may push them away. So instead, he tells them just to believe, you know. And so what is this belief? Well, some, they think belief is just simply accepting the what Jesus did on the cross. Like, if he was born of a Virgin Mary, you know, he died and rose again. He died for the sins of the world. Just accepting that truth is good enough. And making Jesus their God, their mascot God that they claim. And they say, this is my God, instead of Buddha or some other Allah, somebody else, right? That's what they begin to think. And they start walking around with Jesus t-shirts on, talking about Jesus saved me and all this stuff, but they had not repented of their sins, you know. So it's sad, but that's what they think. Some other people think that belief in Jesus is just doing good works, you know, because there is a passage in James, I think, you know, show me your faith by your works. So they think, well, I believe in Jesus because I come to church every Sunday and I tithe and I'm actively participating in church. No. We're going to show you what faith means in a minute. And this is the biblical definition of it. And this is in Hebrews chapter 11, and let's go to verse 8. And it says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. Right there. Faith leads to obedience. Here's an example. Christ is saying, your house is on fire. Get out the house. He's on the phone and he's outside telling you, and you're in the house on the phone with him. And he's saying, get out the house, it's on fire. If you believe Jesus, you obey him and you leave the house. If you don't believe him, you don't leave the house. That's basically what it boils down to. If you believe in Jesus, you do what he says. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Faith in Christ is obedience. Doing what Christ says. Open up that Bible and see what he said. Get those Bibles with the red letters. It says exactly what Jesus says. Is he giving a command? Then do that. That's what pleases him. That's what faith is. Not just having a mental understanding of who Christ is and what he did. That's kind of like what people do with basketball stars. They have a card, basketball card with stats on it. And they say, well, I know this guy. You don't know him. You just know the stats. You know about him, but you don't know him. And that's what's happening with a lot of people when it comes to this so-called faith in Christ. They know about Christ. They know some scriptures are surrounding him. They know what his life was about. They know the miracles he performed. But they don't know him, and they don't believe him, and they don't do anything he says. One of the scriptures, you know, he said, why do you call me Lord, but don't do anything I say? And so you'll hear from the pulpit, you're being told, confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So he's my Lord and Savior. Okay. They'll confess that and they'll walk off, but they won't do anything Christ says. They won't obey him. And it's like, well, what's going on there? Well, Christ ain't their Lord. We have to get this understanding that faith leads to obedience in Christ and repentance is necessary toward salvation. You can't receive salvation without repentance. And of course, once you make that declaration of faith, once you believe and confess your sins and you confess that Jesus is Lord and he died on the cross for you and all that stuff, you know, you should get baptized. This is also another stipulation in scripture that a lot of people don't, you know, they overlook. Go get baptized. Go to a lake, you know, have somebody dump you in the lake and understand that that means this is symbolic of you being washed of your sins and coming back up a new person. So it's commanded in scripture, so you should do it. So I think that's it for now. Well, let me do this. Let me just now read off the gospel the way I present it to people. And this is what we have on our website. And we just recently updated this. So here's the gospel from my understanding based off of my study of scripture. The gospel means good news. God's desire is that we have a loving relationship with him for all eternity in his kingdom with perfect harmony, joy, and peace. The bad news: there's a barrier that prevents the relationship from happening called sin. Sin is breaking God's commandments and anything else he reveals to us as sin. Sin is so offensive to God that he reserved the places called hell and the lake of fire for those who have any trace of sin in them. Unfortunately, we all have sin, so all of humanity is due eternal damnation if something isn't done about it. The good news: God foresaw this problem, and because of his great love for us, his remedy was to have his own son die as a sacrifice for our sins. His son, Jesus Christ, took the punishment we deserve, and as he was tortured and hung on a cross, his blood was shed for all mankind. If we believe in Jesus, who he is, what he did for us, if we acknowledge that our sins offend God, and if we turn away from our sins, the blood of Jesus will wash away those sins and we will be forgiven. The blood of Jesus is the soul of Jesus, which cleanses the human soul from sin. Obedience to Jesus rebuilds our relationship with God, the Father in heaven. Rebuilding this relationship involves changing our minds to align with how God thinks about things. This involves Bible study. As we obey and follow Christ as our guide back to our Father in heaven, his Holy Spirit empowers us to please God and keep his commandments. This time allotted on earth is to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. to become a mature child of God who can spend eternity with God in harmony, joy, and peace. So that's the gospel, and that's how I present it to people. Repentance is in there. Belief is in there, which means leading to obedience, obeying Christ. That's in there because those are the most important things. You can't just say Jesus is my God, but you don't follow him. You don't do anything he says. It trips me out when people say that. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It's because their pastor lied to them. He omitted repentance and he didn't teach them what faith meant. So if this is new for you, I encourage you to look at the gospel message and accept it. And because the kingdom of God is great. It's better than what this world is offering. And he's going to destroy this world. So if I was you, I would, you know, get on board with Christ and the kingdom of God. But if you're not right with God, confess your sins and repent. He'll make you clean and whole and wash away those sins and forgive you. And then you can continue to walk in the right way. And till next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed.